Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cisco NAC Guest Server Conference Call. My name is Jahaira, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode, and we will conduct a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Now, I would like to introduce Ms. Kawal Yoho, Analyst Relations. Please proceed.
Thank you, Jahaira. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is Kawal Yoho in Cisco's Analyst Relations Department, and once again, welcome to our AR Speaker Series teleconference on Cisco NAC Guest Server. In today's teleconference, we will discuss the latest developments in guest access. After the presentation, we will have a question-and-answer period. The operator will poll the participants on the phone lines for any questions you may have. We will also use this time to address questions we have received in advance of the call. Please note that we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and I wish to thank you in advance in providing your candid feedback. Today's presenters are Irene Sandler and Niall Irene Sandler is the Product Marketing Manager for the Cisco NAC appliance product focused on the go-to-market strategy and field and customer communications. Niall is Cisco's NAC appliance product manager for Europe, Middle East, and Africa. I would now like to turn the call over to Irene.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining. Really appreciate your time. Today, we're going to actually talk about Cisco NAC Guest Server. It is an addition to our product family. And I'd like to take a few minutes just to set the context of that. So if you have the slide deck handy, the second slide is one about providing the services needed for NAC. And as you probably well know, we've at Cisco are looking at NAC in terms of it being a way to provide more and better criteria for controlling access to the network. So what we've been doing is evolving this in three main areas. The first kind of area that we've been evolving Cisco NAC is in terms of device coverage. We've been expanding our ability to query, identify, manipulate, do something with more and more network devices so that we're not just talking about corporate managed PCs, et cetera. The other area in which we've been evolving Cisco NAC is in terms of use cases, expanding the number of use cases for which NAC is applicable. So you might remember our ISR network module launch for branch offices. It also includes guest access today. And you are already probably familiar with our remote and wireless coordination with remote VPN concentrators, remote access VPN concentrators, and also wireless LAN controllers. And then the third dimension that we've been evolving Cisco NAC is in terms of deployability. And in the past couple of months, we've also included, you know, the platform additions and more and better policies that are pre-populated into the product. So those are the three environments along which we've been evolving Cisco NAC. So today, I'd like to focus on guest services. This is along that use case dimension that I mentioned earlier. Most of you are familiar with at least two, if not three, of the current services that most vendors have been appropriating for NAC. Authentication, obviously, being able to do the roles-based identification and therefore which policies apply. Posture services, checking for AV, Windows. In fact, that particular service of NAC has kind of overshadowed all the other services so far. And then profiling services, that is finding all the non-PC or even just non-Windows devices and not only identifying them and making sure that they act in the way that they're supposed to, but also continually monitoring them afterwards so that there is no IP address or MAC address spoofing. Today we'd like to introduce an additional service, and this will be one of addition. We plan on a variety of NAC services in the coming months, so square of four will probably turn into some sort of nicer graphic with more services as we introduce them. But today we're introducing guest services. If you go to the next slide, which is slide three, the reason why we're introducing guest services at this time is because, as we've talked to customers and, in fact, in conversations with yourselves, we've identified that guest access is one of the main pain points for enterprise customers. We've seen that bubble up from the higher education space, in which posture services were very important. But as we've moved toward the enterprise space, we're seeing that guest access is actually one of the largest drivers. And in fact, guest access needs to be built in the context of a future NAC deployment for many people. So, in other words, many people start out with saying, okay, I like the concept of NAC. Let's try it out and use guest access as a test bed. Fewer posture criteria that we need to enable. All we do is want to make sure we can identify them, perhaps identify the device, and make sure that they are put onto an appropriate segment of the network that doesn't threaten my internal network. If they do it correctly, they are able to use NAC as a platform for that and then gradually expand it. So in our experience, we've seen remote access being the kind of the next use case, and then wireless access also being kind of on par with remote access as well, and then finally to the LAN, which has a lot more edge and corner cases, so I'm sure you're familiar with, so it would require a little more experience from the customer side in terms of setting policies. So with that, I'm going to the next slide, which is slide number 4. We'd like to introduce you to our Cisco NAC guest server. It is under the aegis of NAC, but I should state up front that it also works with the wireless LAN controller. So if folks already have that in place, they can use that as well. The intent of the guest server is to manage the entire guest user lifecycle, not just the access part. And to that extent, we have it covering 4 major areas, which Niall, our product manager, will delve into in more detail. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Niall.
Thanks, Irene. I just want to check that everyone's got the latest slide deck that was sent out this morning with the black background. With the white background, you might not see some of the details. So you might want to check that. So on slide 4, the product that we're introducing today, as Ivy mentioned, is the Cisco NAC Guest Server. And one of the things that we've seen with customer deployments of guest access, either using NAC technology, wireless LAN controller technology, or any other mechanism that they want to allow the guest onto the network, is that there are a number of features and services that people are requiring so that they can get the end-to-end experience of guest. And these come down into 4 categories, really. So first of all is the provisioning element. How do you create your guest user accounts? It tends to be the biggest point for how we actually deliver this technology out there today. The next thing is, once you've created the guest account, how do you actually tell the guest about the details? How do you tell them how to access the network? And there's multiple notification methods that you may want to use to do that. The next thing is management. So sometimes these guest accounts are very short-lived, you know, and maybe last for maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, in which case you're probably not going to do much management on them. But there's also the fact that, say, for example, a guest comes to see you and they stay for an hour, but they're going to stay for a bit longer. You can go in and extend the time of their account. Maybe they leave early and you want to suspend the account. Maybe it turns out that the account has got into the hands of a malicious user and you want to kick them off the network, then you should be able to do that as well. And the last key thing is reporting. So reporting and audit is key for all organizations as they deploy guest access today. Not only do they want to give out guest access, but because they're actually using the organization's infrastructure, they want to actually know that they're not doing anything malicious or be able to track back to exactly what that guest did while they were on the network. So moving on to slide 5, we can see that actually there's been guest access through lots of different kinds of infrastructure for a long period of time. And this typically tends to come around a captive portal technology. So typically, the guest opens their web browser and a captive portal in a NAC appliance, in a wireless LAN controller, in a switch, in a firewall, in some sort of network infrastructure device, actually redirects them to the login page where the user has to authenticate, like you see on any guest or wireless hotspot today. But the problem with that is that provides the access to the guest, but it doesn't provide the services that sit around that, the things that link the sponsor, the person who wants to give guest access, all the way through to the guest, and all the features that organizations need to deploy. So moving on to slide 6, we can see that the NAC guest server aims to complete the puzzle for you, to provide the other pieces that organizations need to deploy to get an end-to-end experience. And we'll cover these in a bit more detail, from provisioning all the way through to reporting and auditing. So moving on to slide 7, the first thing that people are concerned with when they create guest accounts is who should take this task, who should undertake this task. Should it be the receptionist or lobby ambassador? Should it be someone in IT security? Should it be a manager? Should it be the help desk? Who should be able to create the account? Now, organizations have lots of different policies on maybe who should be doing this task, whereas we believe that to get the full benefits of guest access, and also to enable it to happen in a short space of time, allowing any internal user to be able to create a guest account in a secure way is the easiest way to achieve this. To give you some examples, if you look at the receptionist, if you were to come and see me at Cisco and we were sat in a meeting room 3 floors up, and you said, can I have internet access on your guest network? If it's the receptionist or lobby ambassador who has to create that, then I have to think about that. And I think, okay, well, I need to go down 3 flights of stairs. I need to go and find this user. It's going to take me 10 minutes to do. If it's someone in IT security or a manager, you know, then not only do I have to find them, but they're also a very expensive resource, you know, to be doing this task of giving internet access out. So it's going to take a period of time. So that is a conflict with the productivity gains that people want to get by deploying guest access. So at Cisco, we have a system where, you know, if people come into Cisco and sit down with you and you ask for guest access, then any user can browse to a portal, authenticate against the corporate directory, and create that guest account in a secure manner for them. So moving on to slide 8. To walk you through the entire experience, really, the first thing that an internal sponsor would do is browse to a web portal, authenticate with their corporate credentials against any back-end infrastructure that you have in place. Typically, in most organizations today, it might be Active Directory, but other mechanisms are supported. So once they've authenticated, then they can be given the privileges that they've been allowed to do, whether it is create accounts, whether it's to do reporting, or whatever. So moving on to slide 9, the next thing that they will be hit with is a screen asking them to fill in the guest details. So they put in the name, the company, email address, phone number, other details that you may want to capture about your guests, the start and end times of the account, when you want the guest account to start and when you want it to end, and then they click the Add User button. And it's as simple as that to actually create and provision a guest account. So moving to slide 10, once the account has been created, then you may want to, well, obviously you need to be able to provide those details to the guest. And there's a number of different mechanisms that you have for doing this. Obviously, you could just read it out to them from the screen. You could print the details and with fully customized printout, which may include acceptable use policy, instructions for how you access the guest network, and those kind of details. You may send them an email so that if they have a BlackBerry or a mobile mail device, they can receive the details through email. But also it may be the case that you know that a guest is coming to see you tomorrow, so you create the account for them up front and then they get the email. So when they're sat in the lobby waiting for you, they already have internet access details, so they can actually get on and be more productive, you know, if they arrive a bit early. And the last option is maybe the green option is to text it to them. So very quickly, they'll get it on their mobile phone. But also, the additional benefit to that is that you have another linkage in terms of auditing who actually received those details down to the actual mobile phone that it was sent to. Moving to slide 11, we're talking more about auditing reporting. So once the guest has been given their details, obviously then they will use the captive portal technology and the infrastructure to access the network that will be provisioned down to there. But the infrastructure should also be reporting back to the guest server details about exactly who the guest was, when they accessed the network, and so on. So we can see on the auditing and reporting screen that we can actually see all the information of the entire life cycle of the guest account, from who created the account, who was the sponsor who gave access, the details of the guest, when their account was going to start and end. But more importantly than that, moving on to slide 12, you can actually click on the details button and get detailed information about the guest in terms of when they accessed the network, what their IP address was, and so on. And we will be enhancing this in the future to add in details from additional systems. So maybe you can take information from firewalls and so on to see exactly where this guest went from an audit perspective. So this useful information is very useful for organizations who are giving out internet access to people, because audit is one of the key things that they want to know about. For example, I work in the IT security department of an organization, and I receive a phone call from another organization who said that yesterday at 3 o'clock, there was an attack on our web server from this IP address. And I know that this IP address actually sits within my guest network. I can go into the system, put in the IP address, and then find out who had that IP address at that time in terms of the guest, who created the account for them, and so on. So you've got a full audit of the process from start to finish. Moving on to slide 13, just to give you an example of the power of self-provisioning, self-service from a sponsor perspective. We've deployed guest access at Cisco since January 2005. We've seen a massive uptake of utilization of guest technology since then. Previously, we used to have to raise a help desk case for every guest who came onto our network. And at a cost of $25 to create a guest account, it wasn't going to scale for the amount of guests that we're seeing through our environment. I mean, up to date, on a rolling basis, we've got 270,000 guests per year up to August of this year. And if we had to pay someone or the help desk to create these accounts for them, it was going to cost a lot of money. So we think that we saved about $5.5 million by self-provisioning. Now, this is completely aside from the fact that it enables you to get increased uptake of guest users, the productivity benefits and so on, you know, the soft costs that you can't quantify, really. So we've seen a massive uptake of this based upon the cost savings that we can actually deliver. Moving to slide 14, I'd just like to summarize and say that the NAT guest server is just one element in the way that Cisco is helping customers deploy NAC solutions and authentication solutions to the network. Because of the feedback that we get from customers is that actually the base level technology in terms of authenticating and providing access to the network is not enough for the way that organizations work. They want a more simplified approach to this, to managing the entire experience from start to finish. And this is just going to be one of the additional services that we add to Cisco NAC technology to be enable that to happen. Thank you. So I'll hand back to Kowal now.
Great. Thank you, Irene and Niall. That was a great presentation. Operator, now at this point, can we open up the lines for questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Questions will be taken in order in which they were received. And your first question comes from the line of Chris Christensen with IDC. Please proceed.
Hi. Can you talk a little bit about pricing and packaging for this option?
Okay. So the list price of the product is $24,995 for the appliance. It's an appliance model. So basically, customers buy this box. They put it on their network, they give it an IP address, and then very quickly they can be integrating it within the infrastructure, probably within the space of an hour. That is the list price, and you know, going back to some of the return on investment models that we've shown, there is a cost associated with creating accounts, regardless of whether it's opening a help desk case at $25 or using someone's time to do that. So we can see that customers can get return on investment for this quite quickly.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. And your next question comes from the line of Neil Rickard with Gartner. Please proceed.
I was wondering, do you anticipate any linkages between this and charging mechanisms? I've got some clients who are considering whether their guest network would evolve into a chargeable service.
Definitely. So this is the first step on the path to enhancing the guest access. And we've seen these requests coming from customers in a number of different ways. Some customers want to do billing and to charge access to certain kinds of customers. It may be that they may be customers who are coming into the environment for a show or an event that's being put on, and they would like to, you know, get some of the money back that way. Other people want to link into existing payment and billing systems, not just for the fact of actually authenticating the user, charging the user to make some money, more in terms of authenticating the user and providing that linkage all the way back. So I'll give you an example. We're looking at talking with companies like iPass, so that if a customer has an existing iPass account, they could come in and use the guest access solution from an organization in terms of being able to link back to the existing way that they access network hotspots. So that gives twofold advantage, really. One, you know, there's the option of charging for this kind of thing. But also, if an organization doesn't even want to do provisioning, then the user already has a validated user account that can always be linked all the way through the process from an audit capability point of view. In terms of billing services, we're going to add more services into this in the next couple of releases to be able to charge back to common things such as, you know, credit card organizations, PayPal, you know, however organizations want to be able to set these kind of technologies up.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no more questions on the line.
Irene and Niall, I have a question that was submitted earlier. The question is, why have you put this functionality on a separate platform rather than adding it to the NAC management box or the wireless management box?
It's a really good question, that. And one of the things that we've had from customers is the fact that everyone's interested in doing this sponsor self-service. So everyone's interested in allowing any internal user to be able to go and create accounts. But the way that most organizations deploy their technology today is if they have a management platform for managing their NAC infrastructure or their wireless infrastructure or anything else, then it's typically separated on a management VLAN, which doesn't have access from the normal users. So this enables you to provide a very clear delineation by having this appliance sitting in the data center, accessed by all your internal users, and providing the linkage to the back-end management systems for provisioning the accounts on the infrastructure. So it provides a really clean point of segmentation.
Great, thank you. And, you know, I have one more question that was also submitted earlier. Does the guest access the NAC guest server? If so, how does this enforce the access for the guest?
Okay, that's also a good question. So actually, the NAC guest server is the provisioning and management capability of guest access. So what this enables us to do is to actually virtualize the infrastructure that people have in place. So if you look at the infrastructure today, then you have firewalls, you have NAC appliances, you have switches, you have wireless LAN controllers, all with guest access captive portal functionality built in. So this doesn't aim to replace that functionality. It allows you to use the captive portal functionality that you have built into the infrastructure you've already paid for, will be able to authenticate the user against this box using a protocol such as Radius or an API call to be able to do that.
Great, thank you. Operator, could we do one final prompt for questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. At this time, we do not have any questions on the line.
Great, thank you. Actually, I have one more question for you guys before we're done. How many guests can this box support?
So in terms of the amount of guests, there's an unlimited amount of guests that this box will be able to support in terms of provisioning, creating, and reporting. We've not limited this by a user license figure. It's a solution to enable you to use the infrastructure because the infrastructure is going to do the main work in this system.
Great, thank you. If there's no further questions, thank you very much, Niall and Irene, for presenting to our analyst audience. For those on the phone, thank you again for your participation in today's teleconference. As a reminder, we will be sending out a short survey immediately after this call, and I wish to thank you in advance in providing your candid feedback. Thank you and have a good day.
Operator. Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation, and you may now disconnect. Good day.